God's word. 1 Samuel 24, starting at verse 1. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave, and the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.' Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward David's heart struck him, because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed.' So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My Lord, the king!' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your harm"? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, "I will not put out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Out of the wickedness comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you.' After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog, a flea. May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So far, God's word. Let's ask him for his blessing on his word now together. Please pray with me. Gracious, almighty, glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come before you this morning. We thank you for your word given to us. Lord, we thank you that despite all of what's going on at the moment, despite the situations that we feel find ourselves in, despite our trials, our struggles, our sorrows, despite our joys, Heavenly Father, you still provide your word for us. We still have this opportunity to come and worship you by hearing your word. Bless your word to our hearts now, we pray. Calm our hearts. Still our hearts. Work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Extraordinary. Unique. Unexpected. Or a word that I've been hearing a lot of at the moment, unprecedented. Those are the kind of words that we've been hearing over the last week or so, describing what we're going through. As a nation, we're learning new vocabulary. The word COVID-19 would not have been on any of our lips 2 months ago. We now know words like lockdown, social distancing. How far apart, boys and girls? How far do we need to be apart when we pass other people on the street? 2 meters. That's right, 2 meters. We're learning words like social bubbles. But in our text this morning, we're reminded of a word, a different word, a concept that is helpful for us to learn and be reminded about this morning. And that word is patience. Patience. We need patience now, don't we? We need patience with each other. We need patience with ourselves. We need patience with our government. But that patience is not the focus of our passage this morning. No, the focus of our passage this morning is patience with God. It's something that David wrestles with here in our passage. That's something that we're wrestling with at this moment in time as well. All of us, I am sure. So this morning we're going to see that we are to have patience in God's plan. That's listed there in your bulletin if you print it out, or the points are there for you. We are to have patience in God's plan. And the first thing we're going to see this morning is that our patience is tested. Our patience is tested. Let's turn together to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Saul returns from following the Philistines. He's battling his old enemy again. We're not sure what the result of this battle was. That's not the focus of the passage. No, and that's not Saul's focus. No, Saul's focus is David. And he hears again that David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. So he takes 3,000 chosen men, 3,000 crack troops to fight 600. It's not really a fair fight, is it? Goes out to search for David. Now in this area, the Wild Goats Rocks, as it refers to in verse 2, there were many caves, lots of caves that you could go and rest in. It's an area that's well known for those. But Saul chooses one particular cave. The cave that David and his men are in. And boys and girls, do you know what Saul does in this cave? Why he goes into this cave? It says there in verse 3, Saul went in to relieve himself. What happened, boys and girls, is that Saul went to go to the toilet. And of all the caves he chose to do this, to go to the bathroom, he chose the very cave that David and his soldiers were in. Did this happen by chance? I hope the boys and girls are shaking their heads at the moment. No, it didn't happen by chance at all. This was God's plan, God working things together. But for David and his men, they must have thought it was Christmas. Boys and girls, do you know the song, This Is The Day? I won't sing it for you now, but this is the day that the Lord has made. Well, you can just imagine David and his soldiers, or David's soldiers, I should say, singing this quietly at the back of the cave. David, this is your day. This is your chance. This is your chance to kill your arch enemy. And while Saul is on the toilet, David sneaks in. He sneaks from the back of the cave and he cuts a piece of the robe of Saul. Was David thinking about killing Saul and had second thoughts? We don't really know. We do know that he cut off part of the robe, and this is significant. This is significant because it's the first act of aggression in any form that David does against Saul. It's also symbolic. It's significant because it's symbolic. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul has not destroyed the Amalekites as he was commanded to. And in verse 28 and 29, this is, we'll start at verse 27. As Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret." This is symbolic. The kingdom being taken away from Saul. And no doubt that would have played through Saul's mind, and we'll see that again. I will see that shortly. David returns to the back of the cave, but David's men wanted more. They didn't want just a piece of Saul or his robe. They wanted all of Saul. They wanted him dead. David argues with his men. Verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." Verse 7 says, "So David persuaded his men with these words." And that's really putting it pretty simply and pretty calmly. In the original language, it literally is that David tore apart his men. The idea here is that he had an argument with his men about this, and he had to put his foot down and say, "No, we are not going to kill the Lord's anointed. He was put there by God. He was put in place in authority by God, and I will not change that." You see, David was tempted. He could have taken matters into his own hands. He could have seized the crown rather than wait for God to give it to him. He could have taken a shortcut, but he knew that Saul was placed into power by God. David respected that. David was tempted. He had caught Saul literally with his pants down. He was tempted, but he did not give into temptation. Our Savior too was tempted. He was tempted to take a shortcut by the devil in the desert. As the devil tempted him to bow down to him, to give in to him. And if Christ had given in to the devil, then he wouldn't have had to suffer. But that wasn't God's will. No. Christ, our Savior, did not take matters into his own hands. No, he followed his Father. He obeyed his Father. He rested and was patient in his Father's timing and his Father's perfect plan. But we too can be tempted, brothers and sisters, boys and girls. We too can be tempted or take shortcuts, take matters into our own hands as our patience is tested. We can be tempted to take matters into our own hands as we get frustrated over the next couple of weeks, frustrated with each other. As we let those frustrations boil and simmer, let our anger simmer, rather than dealing with each other in love. As we're tempted to take the easy way out, not deal with the problems in our relationships, or try and have a quick fix, keep everything calm, or no fix, living with that tension in the air, living without dealing with what's going on. We can be tempted at this time to go into cruise mode in our Christian walk, retreating into our shells. We can be tempted to take the easy way out, to take matters in our own hands in our parenting, It's so easy at the moment just to give our kids what they want, do anything just to keep them quiet. But that's not gospel-centered parenting. We can be tempted to take matters into our own hands as worry and anxiousness overwhelm us. And yes, there is much to worry about at the moment. We can be overwhelmed with worry about our health, with what's going to happen to our jobs, what will happen to our houses, what will happen to our businesses, what will happen to our plans for the future. But in all of this, if we don't deal with this, if we let this overwhelm us, we are saying, God, you've got it wrong. God, you are not enough for me. Your timing is wrong. Why are you doing this? What are you doing, God? You've made a mistake. Or maybe you take matters into your own hands without God. You don't need him. You can do just fine on your own. Thank you very much. Our patience is tested. We are tempted, as David was tempted, to take the easy way, to take matters into our own hands. But rather, brothers and sisters, we are called to have patience in God's plan. And our story continues and shows us that as we look at two speeches, one speech from David and then a speech from Saul. David's speech forms our second point this morning. We are to have patience in God's justice. We are to have patience in God's justice. David goes out of the cave to face Saul. Now realize here that he is placing himself at great risk. 600 men behind him in the cave. How many men was it? 3,000 men at Saul's disposal. Saul could have killed David just like that, there and then. But notice how he speaks to Saul. Verse 8. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord, the king." He shows Paul respect. Saul, I should say, respect. He acts with respect. David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. Boys and girls, that means that he gave respect and honor to Saul by bowing down before him. And then David asks Saul and calls God to be the judge. "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? See what I could have done to you. The Lord gave you today into my hand. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. Because you are my Lord. You are the anointed of the Lord." He shows Saul the piece of the robe. He calls God to be the judge. He told Saul that he could have taken matters into his own hands, but he didn't. He rests. He places his faith in God's justice. He calls God to judge between him and Saul. He recites a proverb there in verse 13. "As the proverb of the ancients says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you." He says, "I'm not one of the wicked." And there's a gentle rebuke there, perhaps, for Saul too. What's coming out of your hand, Saul? David places his faith in God's justice. He is prepared to rest in God's provision. And our first application here in this point two this morning is that we're not to take justice into our own hands. We need to leave it to God. We need to live and rest in the fact that God sees everything. Nothing escapes his sight. We need to be patient in his justice, that God will make all things right. That's his promise in his word. God will come as judge. But there's a bigger picture here too, as we look at our patience in God. A bigger picture that comes out time and time again in the book of 1 Samuel. That we can trust. We can rest in God's plan for our lives. David places his trust in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, as God's people, we can first of all rest in God's justice for us in Jesus Christ. That he, as our Savior, has faced, has satisfied God's justice. That our Savior has received what we deserved. That our Savior has received the punishment of God that was supposed to be given to us. So that God's justice was satisfied. That we have become his children. That we can call him our Father and Jesus Christ our brother. That because of our Savior, justice has been done. That our Savior was the climax of God's plan for all of history. God's plan for us, and we can rest there in his justice. But there's the bigger picture too, of placing our trust not just in God's justice, but in his love, his mercy, his kindness, his wisdom, his knowledge, all of who God is. Just as David placed his trust in the Lord, we too can place our trust in our God, in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be content to place our trust and our hope in him. We need not despair. We simply need to rest in God's plan for our lives, whatever that plan may be. Many of you will have had the privilege, if we can call it that, of sitting next to a learner driver. And it's very tempting when you have a learner driver sometimes to grab the wheel and pull it sometimes or put your foot on the imaginary brake. Or maybe not do that, but simply stress and be fearful. Try and hang on to the car, hold on to the side every time you go around a corner or cross the center line. It can be tempting for us to do that with God, can't it? It's tempting for us to do that at the moment. As we think about our jobs, our livelihoods, our financial security that isn't that is financial insecurity, as we give in to fear and anxiety. The question for you this morning is, can you trust him? Can you trust God at this time? Do you trust him that he knows what is going on? That he knows every single life in this country? That he knows every single case of COVID-19? He knows who will recover. He knows who will not. He knows whether you'll get it or not. He knows what is going to happen to your family. He knows what's going to happen to your work, to your business. And you know what, brothers and sisters, friends? He's got it. No matter what happens, he's got you. He will never let you go. Do you trust him? Do you place your hope and your trust in him first and foremost? God's promise to you is that he will walk with you, but it can be hard to trust in him. It can be hard to be patient in his plan, and God knows that. He knows that too. He knows your fears, your anxieties, your worries, your relationship struggle. He knows every single cent of your finances. And this morning, through his word, he seeks to reassure you, to give you assurance that he is in control, that you are not alone. And that brings us to our third and final point this morning. Our third and final point is that our patience is strengthened by assurance. Our patience is strengthened by assurance. David has given a speech. And now it's Saul's turn to reply. And first of all, we read in verse 16, he calls out, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. What exactly did he weep about? We don't know. We're not told. We do know that this is not a sorrow that leads to true repentance. Saul acknowledges that he was wrong. He talks the talk. As always for Saul, he sounds pious. But as we shall see, he doesn't walk the walk. While he returns, we read at the end of verse at chapter 24 that he goes to his home. It's not long before he's chasing David again in chapter 26. But he does give an astonishing acknowledgement to David. We see that in verses 20 and 21. He has said in the verses before that, he says that David's more righteous than him and that he has dealt well with him. But verse 20, notice what he says there, and this is important for David. "And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." Here, David gets encouragement. Here, David gets assurance of God's plan for him. Confirmation to David that his patience, his trusting in God would not go unrewarded, that he would be king. Now, in sport, the biggest compliment that you can get is compliments from your opposition. You see a good player on the field and two people are marking him. It's a sign of respect. Boys and girls, you can ask your parents a little bit later about a man who used to play rugby for the All Blacks, Jonah Lomu. You can look up some of his greatest tackles on YouTube and how two people would try to take him down. Well, here David gets the biggest compliment from his opposition, from his biggest enemy, his biggest threat. But these aren't just Saul's words to him. No, they are God's encouragement to him. "David, you will be king. You have made the right choice, resting in my plan, waiting on my timing." God gives us this assurance too as believers. If we trust in him, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that we are his children through the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us into union, into fellowship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, who reminds us, assures us that we belong to him. Because that's the only way we can be sure in this life. It's the only way that we can have assurance, if we belong to him. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then there is no assurance, no guarantees that God is working for you, none at all. Then you should be fearful at this time. You should be worried. But as God's people, we can be encouraged, we can be assured, we can be patient, and we can patiently rest in his perfect plan for us. We get assurance and encouragement from other ways as well. We get assurance as other people who aren't believers see how we respond in this time of crisis. Not as we, as Christians, have it all together and show how wonderful we are singing hymns down the street. Not that that's a bad thing. But as people see our struggles, as people see our trials, as they see our worries and our fears, but as also, they also see our reliance, our trust, our patience with our God and Heavenly Father. And like Saul, people will notice. People will ask questions. Your neighbors will ask you as you chat with them, as you phone them, as you talk with them over the fence. As you share the love of Jesus Christ, and that doesn't necessarily mean speaking about Jesus Christ, but sharing his love, in the supermarket, as you go to the doctor. People see and notice. And they can encourage us as they see and they talk to us about how we respond and how we place our trust in God. Our patience can be assured and strengthened by fellow believers as they encourage us. And brothers and sisters, may I commend you. You're doing a great job, many of you, in keeping in touch with your brothers and sisters at this time and reaching out and messaging, Zooming, texting, Skyping, calling, whatever way. We do need to be creative at this time, don't we? We can assure and encourage our fellow believers at this time. Keep doing that. Be a Jonathan to David. Be a Jonathan to your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But we can also be encouraged. We can also be encouraged by God's words to us this morning as well. God's word to us through his word. Passages such as Philippians 1 verse 6. Philippians 1 verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. I'll say that again. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Stop for a moment. Think about that. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things. Be assured by that, encouraged by that. Even especially what we're facing now. We have God's promise in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. We know those words, but as Jesus has given the Great Commission, which still applies to us now, brothers and sisters, very much so in this time. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have the assurance of God's promises, like Psalm 23. He leads me down to lay beside quiet waters. Here's a great encouragement this week as you seek to have patience, as you seek to rest in God's plan for you and your family this week. Spend some time. I'm happy to point you to some passages, but you can go and hunt for those passages yourself as well. Spend some time reflecting on God's promises. Go to his promises when you're tempted to doubt, when you're struggling with worry. Pour out your heart to him. Bring his promises to him in prayer. Brothers and sisters, God has got us. He has a perfect plan for us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we will go through, no matter what happens to our jobs, our businesses, our health, our marriages, our children, our finances. Trust in him. Rest in him. Don't take shortcuts when tested. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to anger. Instead, trust in the one who promises that he will bring justice for you. In one who had a perfect plan, who has a perfect plan for you before the beginning of time itself. Who was never caught by surprise. Place your hope and trust in him. Continue to be an assurance, an encouragement to your brothers and sisters. Talk, text, Zoom, Skype, whatever. Bring them before the throne of grace daily. Pray for them. Pray with them. Our patience will be tested at this time, brothers and sisters, but God is with us. Be assured of that. Be patient in him. Trust him. Know that he is looking after you. He is looking out for you. And he will walk with you and hold you in his fatherly hand. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and glorious Father, almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, that you are working all things for the good of your people. Lord, we are tempted not to rest in you, not to have patience with you, not to rest and be patient in your plan for us. Help us not to give in to temptation, to worry too much, not to let anxiousness overwhelm us, rather to come to you, to bring them to you, so that you will work and walk with us through our anxiousness, through our worry. Lord, we do bring before you the things and the matters that are on our hearts this morning that are a burden to us. Those are different for each and every one of us, but you know what they are, Heavenly Father. We bring those before you this morning. Help us to be patient and trust in you. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement and assurance that you give us in so many ways through your perfect plan. We thank you for the encouragement that we can be to each other as brothers and sisters at this time. May we be an encouragement, we pray. Heavenly Father, help us to rest in you, trust in you. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as we go to continue in this day that you've set aside for you. Be with us as we spend some time, Lord willing, as a family, singing some of the songs or other songs together that we've received. We pray too, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the offerings that are given as well. Lord, be those via online giving at the moment. Lord, we thank you for the ability to give to you just a portion of what you've given us. Be with the deacons, especially at this time, as they use use these funds to serve you and to further your kingdom. Lord, we pray that as we place our trust in you, as we place our hope in you, we may have opportunities to share with other people why we can do so. That even though, yes, we do worry, even though, yes, we are anxious, yes, we have things and burdens in our minds and struggles, real struggles that we are facing now, we have someone who we can place our hope and trust in. That we are safe, that we are secure in Jesus Christ. Give us the opportunity to express that hope to others as well, we pray. May that be the hope of every single person who's been listening, watching this morning, or who is watching in the future. We pray this through the only name that saves, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go well, people of God. Thank you for spending this time together. And I pray that it will have been a blessing to you. Can I encourage you also to follow the service at Bishopdale this evening? Those details are in the bulletin. I also have some notes that I'll send through from Pastor Knoppers for you as well to take on board that may help you with the service too. If you have any questions or any worries or concerns, please talk to me. Please reach out. Don't bottle them inside. Talk to those who are around you as well. We are, and we have the blessing of the body of Christ and being the body of Christ to each other. But as we go now, hear God's blessing to you this morning. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen. Bless you. May God be with you.